Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
We just formed a fucking wall.
O'Neal deep in the post. Lots of contact there. Oh, what a block by Wallace. What a jump ball.
This team's down 4, 12-8, 7-38 to play the first half. Burst from Rodney. Stuck into the rim. Count up, baby, and a foul.
Reggie inside for Andre. And a dynamite dunk.
Pistons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Mike Anguilano, and joining me, as always, is Aaron Johnson. Aaron Johnson, how are you doing, Aaron Johnson?
I'm hanging in there, Mike. Pistons have been active, so excited to get into all the stuff going on with them.
Yes, they have been active. And we were talking about Troy Weaver being anxious about making a trade. Well, lo and behold, he did make a trade. Pistons acquired Hamidou Diallo from the Oklahoma City Thunder for Svi Mykhailiuk, and I believe a second-round pick. Aaron, do you know where that second-round pick was at?
It was a 2027 second-round pick that was originally owned by Houston.
So that was the super far-off second-round pick from this past
season. Yeah, I think the prospect's in like ninth grade or something that they're going to end up taking.
Fantastic. Well, hopefully he's doing well in Algebra 1. So a second-round pick from 2027 and Svi Mykhailiuk for Hamidou Diallo. Diallo, 22-year-old, 6'5", shooting guard, small forward type. He was averaging 11.9 points per game, 4 rebounds, and 2.4 assists for the Oklahoma City Thunder. So initial reaction is that, I mean, personally, I don't know why the Thunder did this. I know why the Pistons did it, because it's a very low-risk, high-reward type of move to move on from Svi Mykhailiuk, who really wasn't the player that I think some of us were thinking he would be. I know I had him penciled in as a player to watch heading into the season because I thought his outside shooting would develop into something else. It didn't, so the Pistons moved on. So, Aaron, what do you make of Detroit acquiring Hamidou Diallo?
I like the trade. I think it's an upside trade. Diallo's a fine player. I'll say I'm not as high on him as others seem to be. I think he's a good player. Obviously, he's very athletic as a slasher towards the rim, presents some secondary distributing abilities here and there, uses his athleticism and strength to be a, you know, decent defender. He's not an all NBA level defender by any stretch of the imagination, but I also don't think he's a negative defender either. He's a struggling 3-point shooter, shooting a career best 29.3% from the 3-point line this season. So that is certainly not his strength whatsoever, which is also something that is going to really hold him back, I think, long-term. But he's just 22 years old. There is still time for him to develop that outside shot. But he brings enough other things to the table to where he is an intriguing upside swing by Troy Weaver, who was in Oklahoma City, obviously, when Diallo was brought to Oklahoma City. So I like it. I don't think they gave up anything of too much value. You and I have both talked about how we really did not see a future for Svema Hajduk in Detroit. I know there were people that thought he could replace Luke Kennard and be a cheaper version of Luke Kennard. I never bought into that. The talent was just not there. You know, the 2027 second round pick, again, the kid maybe has hit puberty yet. We don't really know. So Detroit has plenty of time to go and get another 2027 second round pick before it's too late. So I like this trade. Detroit didn't give up anything that really matters, in my opinion. So I think it's a fine play. We'll see how it works out. It's another prospect for Dwayne Casey to try to work with. And so far, Casey has done a nice job in Detroit of doing that. And the guys that Weaver has brought in have done a nice job of developing and blossoming here as well. So overall, I think it's a positive and solid move by the Pistons.
That's a huge indictment of Luke Kennard if you think that Svema Hajduk is the guy who can sort of replace that. I don't know if you meant replacement minutes or replace him in the core moving forward. I mean, anyway, I like the move. It's another low risk, high reward type of move. You know, they got rid of Derrick Rose, got Dennis Smith Jr., low risk, high reward, or medium type of reward. You know, he's a young guy who is somewhat athletic and was pretty good in college and was drafted high. Same thing with Josh Jackson, low risk, high reward. Now it looks like you've got a nice foundational rotational piece. And not that Diallo will turn into that, but he is super athletic. He is a second round pick. So, you know, falls right into Troy Weaver's wheelhouse of finding quality players all over the place. He fits a need. You know, we talked about shooting guard in the past as a sore spot on this team. If the Pistons are going to be drafting high, they will likely be looking at, you know, a shooting guard or wing type of player. So I think it checks all of the boxes in the interim. And once again, you get to look at another young player and evaluate how they fit. You know, we kind of knew Svema Hajduk wasn't going to fit. He just had that feeling throughout the whole season so far. Right. I mean, it just didn't really look like he was on the court that you were thinking, okay, that is definitely a piece to keep and build with.
No, not at all. I mean, Speed did some decent things, and in some areas he did show some growth, but he's now in his third season in the league and shooting 33% from the three-point line, a guy that is supposed to be a marksman from beyond the arc. He had made some strides as a passer, a little bit as a finisher. There was still a lot of work that needed to be done there. Just overall wasn't being very productive on either side of the ball. He was always going to be challenged defensively due to his lack of height and wingspan. But it's just not a guy that was really going to play a factor for Detroit down the line. So again, an upside move by Weaver, takes a stab at a guy like Diallo, who I would still consider rather raw. He's an NBA player, but I still think his offensive game is raw. I think the shooting alone can speak to that. I like the move. I think this is a guy that, you know, Detroit said, oh, this is a guy that we think could be part of our future moving forward. I don't know if that will end up being the case, but this is not a player that I would be willing to take the chance on seeing, especially right now when, you know, Detroit can give minutes to a guy like Diallo at the shooting guard and small forward spot and just see how he plays.
I mean, you're right. There's really no risk, like I said, giving up a ninth grader in Svi. And just to pull up some reasons why maybe Svi was moved on from, he said it is his fourth season. No, it's his third season. He spent half the year with the Lakers his first year. He shot 40% from three last year, 39% on non-corner threes, 41% on corner threes. He's shooting 32% from three, 32% from non-corner threes, and 30% from corner threes per cleaning the glass. The shooting just didn't really stick around. He was in the 69th percentile last year in effective field goal percentage. He's in the 24th percentile at 48.6%. That's not great. So the shooting just didn't really stick around. I mean, his E field goal percentage is right around, well, it's actually right around Josh Jackson's and Troy Brown and Justin Jackson and Wesley Matthews. So he's not shooting the ball particularly well. And that was kind of what he was last year, was just this, just a solid 3-point shooter that every playoff team basically needs to have on the roster in some capacity. The game just didn't really evolve enough and the shooting didn't stick around. So he didn't get better in some areas and he got worse in the area that they needed him to continue to be good at. So, but with Diallo, like you said, the offensive game is pretty raw. He is not a polished shooter, not a good 3-point shooter. He's shooting 48% from the floor for the year, which is better than his career average. He is just taking around 1 3-pointer a game. Does have 2.4 assists this year. So as Killian Hayes gets back into form and as DeLon Wright gets healthy, you know, you do get a guy who at least this year can distribute the basketball. But 11.9 points, 5 boards. It's not bad. And then tack on 2.4 assists. It's not bad in a steal a game. I mean, overall, that seems like a guy who was improving, and he got some good run with the Thunder this year. And Troy Weaver is not done. I would imagine he's going to keep on moving some stuff around. And speaking about moving some stuff around, NBA trade rumors this year are a dime a dozen. And this is going to be my, I do this every year on my Twitter account, but now that we have the podcast back, please make sure that you all check where you're getting a trade rumor from, and make sure that little check mark on Twitter is actually in the person's account, so we don't end up with the Miami Heat are about to acquire Karl Anthony Towns type of news coming out of nowhere. It's going to run rampant and rumors are all the rage. And I don't know if there's another sport that has quite the gravitas of trade rumors coming from nowhere and everybody jumping on them like a bandwagon. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, it's a problem. And I think you're right when you say there's no other league that has the type of issue with this. I mean, it happens, no doubt, but it just seems like the NBA is where the fake Twitter accounts are the floodgates are open for them. You know, you see every single day these troll accounts posting fake trades, fake quotes, you know, all that kind of stuff. So no doubt it is a major problem. So you're absolutely right. Make sure you're checking who is tweeting that, check their profile, you know, make sure they are truly a reliable source.
And one of those absolutely reliable sources is Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports, who in an article today said about Aaron Gordon that the 7-year vet is open to a change of scenery. No surprise there. Orlando has been kind of the poster child for meh for so many years. Gordon would be open to a change of scenery with the Denver Nuggets, Houston Rockets, and Detroit Pistons. Those are all three of those teams have inquired about acquiring Aaron Gordon, with the dark horse team being the Portland Trailblazers. The Magic have a pretty substantial price tag for Aaron Gordon, and they should. It's hard to believe he's been in the league for 7 years. That seems really, really bizarre. So I will give you the floor. Aaron, what do you think about the Pistons acquiring Aaron Gordon?
I'll tell you what, this is something that really, really confuses me. Not that Aaron Gordon is a bad player by any stretch of the imagination. He has actually progressed, I think, pretty nicely as his career has gone on. You know, you look at him this year, the numbers aren't necessarily there. He's also battled a fair amount of injuries this year, averaging 13.6 points, 7 rebounds. He's up to 4 assists per game, so definitely some growth there. And he's shooting over 36%. He's at 36.5% from the 3-point line. So that's a career best mark. But he's a nice all around player. He does things, you know, on both sides of the ball. He can really help you. He's very, very athletic. But when I look at this Pistons roster and I see Jeremy Grant at the 4 and I see Sekou Doumbouya maybe at the 4, maybe halfway off the team at this point, And then I see a guy like Sadiq Bey who can play minutes at the power forward spot. I just don't really see where Aaron Gordon fits in unless you're sliding Jeremy Grant back down to the small forward spot, which means you're moving Sadiq Bey to the bench. And it gets a little bit harder to find minutes for the newly brought in Hamidou Diallo. I don't really see where a guy like Aaron Gordon fits in. It just kind of, not that they're the same player, but they kind of already have that kind of a guy, you know, on the team in Jeremy Grant. And I like Aaron Gordon a lot, but I don't think that he makes a whole lot of sense for the Pistons and where they're at right now.
Yeah, I agree, especially with Jeremy Grant playing as well as he is. You just unloaded this logjam with Blake Griffin at the four, and now you want to bring back that logjam by acquiring Aaron Gordon. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. I think there are other players the Pistons could look at that aren't Aaron Gordon that would still fill needs. It seems like this is not a significant need for the Pistons right now. And, you know, the first thing I thought of when I heard about Aaron Gordon as a target is Sekou Doumbouya. That appears to be concerning. If they're looking at acquiring a player that is basically has the same mold as him in Aaron Gordon. And am I like totally off? Do you think that that's something that kind of stands out? Like, oh, why are they acquiring a player that would directly take over the minutes that Sekou Doumbouya would ideally have?
Every single game that passes, it just looks more and more like Sekou Doumbouya is on his way out. I don't know how you feel about it, but you hear the quotes was, you know, I told Sekou he's got a clean slate with me here. And then that comes right before the start of the second half of the season. And I think Sekou's played a combined 10 minutes since that quote throughout the first two games of the second half of the year. So I really don't know where Doumbouya stands. He's the last Piston left on the team from, you know, the Ed Stefanski general manager era. It really, really seems like Troy Weaver just wants to really wipe the slate and do his thing. To me, it looks like Sekou is going to go eventually. Just doesn't look like he's in the long-term plans here. And I think bringing in a guy like Aaron Gordon is just another exclamation mark kind of deal where you're saying, look, Sekou, you are not part of the future plans right now, at least not in a prominent role, because if they add another forward in Aaron Gordon, and they already have Grant and Sadiq Bey and Josh Jackson, there's just not an opportunity there for a guy like Sekou. Those minutes are all going to be taken up. The shots are all going to be taken up. It's something to monitor, no doubt. I wouldn't, not to go away from Aaron Gordon talk here, but I would not be surprised if Sekou gets moved by March 25th.
So he had 2 minutes played against the Brooklyn Nets. 2 minutes. Now, I'm not saying that they should be given all the minutes to this guy. Now that Blake is gone, he had 5 minutes against Charlotte in the game prior, and then against the Knicks, he had 15 minutes. He did have 10 points on 4-7 shooting against the New York Knicks, but 5 minutes and 2 minutes in the last two games. I know that's a small sample, and it is a little bit on the concerning side for that little of minute distribution. And this quickly turned from an Aaron Gordon talk to a Sekou Doumbouya Earth is Falling Apart talk. But I think the two are really honestly correlated. And Aaron Gordon is only 25 years old. He's a 7-year vet, but he's 25. He is shooting the ball pretty well from deep, that is. I don't know what sort of value Orlando wants in return. I think a guy like Sekou would at least be enticing to them. I do like Steve Clifford. I think that would be a good fit. He would get the minutes there. He would get a clean slate on a different team, another pretty young team. So I mean, if you, let's just say the Pistons are putting together a trade and they come to you at the conference table, what sort of trade would you put together for Aaron Gordon? I guess this is kind of an assessment of his value. Like, what do you think he's worth?
If I'm the Pistons and I have to come up with a trade?
Yep, it's your turn. The mic is in your hand.
Well, see, funny enough, a guy like Sekou's probably involved in that trade, right? Wouldn't you think?
I think he would have to be, yeah.
I mean, if you're trading for Aaron Gordon, you're essentially confirming that there just really isn't going to be a chance for Sekou, because you're going to have Jeremy Grant and Aaron Gordon that both are going to play a lot of minutes at the four spot.
Yep.
And there's your, you know, there's your prospect piece for the Magic. So you have Aaron Gordon going to the Pistons. You have Sekou Doumbouya going to the Magic. And then probably Detroit has to match salaries, right? Gordon had about $18 million per.
Yep.
So, I mean, do they throw in a guy like DeLon Wright? Maybe. They don't need Mason Plumlee because they have Nikola Vucevic and Markel Fultz is on the mend. So they probably could use a combo guard on that team. Outside of that, what does Detroit have to throw in? I mean, they probably have to throw in some sort of other asset here. I don't think Sekou is nabbing you a guy like Aaron Gordon. Oh,
no, not at his current value. I guess this little exercise was more along the lines of trying to get you to not really give too much for Aaron Gordon, because the Pistons don't really have any need to give up any attributable assets because they don't really need Aaron Gordon.
No, absolutely not.
That's kind of what I was getting at, is that they really don't need him.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. I mean, it probably doesn't make sense to go through and build a trade because, let's face it, it's probably not going to happen. But, you know, it's not like the Pistons are giving up any of their rookies from this year. They're not touching Killian Hayes or Sadiq Bey or Isaiah Stewart or Saben Lee. And do you want to give up first round picks? Probably not. So,
I don't think so.
It just doesn't make sense for on that side of the ball game as well. You know, it doesn't make sense from a roster standpoint, and it doesn't make sense from an asset standpoint, as Orlando supposedly has a pretty high price tag on Gordon. So it just really doesn't make sense in either sense for a deal to come together.
I mean, one would think that the other teams, I mean, Houston is that's just going from one burning pile of trash to a slightly hotter burning pile of trash from Orlando to Houston. I mean, I guess it's pretty fun.
I would say Christian Wood and Aaron Gordon on the court together would be pretty fun.
That fits well. And John Wall and Victor Oladipo and Kevin Porter Jr., I guess all of a sudden you have something that's kind of fun.
I think so. I mean, I'm here for Kevin Porter Jr. trying to revive his career there. I like John Wall, and I don't know if Victor Oladipo's long-term in Houston.
Oh, I think he would be traded for Aaron Gordon.
Oh, you think you think so?
Wouldn't that be interesting? He goes back to where he started.
He isn't. I'm trying to think. You know, Oladipo seems to be pretty hell-bent on going somewhere he wants to go. I know Miami.
That's Florida. That's pretty close.
Yeah, it's almost Miami. It's almost Miami.
Right. It's pretty close. I don't know if Miami wants him. Yeah. I mean, look, I would love to go to Miami too, but I don't know if Miami wants to do that. He's not exactly putting out a product that makes me think, ooh, missing piece to Eastern Conference championship.
Oladipo would be a nice fit in Orlando. Once they get Jonathan Isaac back, I think pairing him and Vucevic with Isaac is a nice trio. It opens up that point, you know, not that it opens up. The point guard spot was already pretty open for Cole Anthony right now and Markel Fultz when he comes back. But that's an intriguing swap. And, you know, for Houston, if they don't, you know, have a commitment from Oladipo and they have a guy like Kevin Porter Jr. who can step into the lineup for Oladipo, and it gives you a legitimate power forward with PJ Tucker likely on his way out.
Yep.
I think we just became general managers.
Call it in. Call it in.
Yeah. Let me check. I got silver on speed now. I'll make the call.
Call it in. Let's shake this up a bit.
I think that is a good.
That's a fine move for both teams. Well, you know, all kidding aside, I think Denver makes sense. I think Portland makes sense, although I feel like they kind of need a more. I think they need a more defensive-minded player if they're going to move significant assets to get better. But Denver makes sense, and Houston makes some sense if they're trying to compete in the next couple of years. Right now they're tanking so that they don't owe that pick to Oklahoma City. And they're doing it very successfully. So one last small topic before we end our short pod. The Pistons signed Tyler Cook to a 10-day contract. And there was a little bit of speculation in our group chat about what exactly that means. Aaron, does that mean anything? Does this mean anything?
I'm going to imagine our group chat was saying that this means that every Piston on the roster is on their way out, because that's just how we react to things.
but, I bet you Jahlil Okafor, they could probably move on from him, right?
Yeah, I mean, Jahlil Okafor is not in the rotation when he comes back anyway. I mean, Isaiah Stewart is holding that position down. And I guess, you know, we'll see what happens with Mason Plumlee. I think he's going to be a Piston. I don't think they're going to trade him. I think him and Stewart will be holding down the center spot. But I obviously, it's only a 10-day contract, so there's nothing really to hate about the signing by Detroit. It's just a guy to throw some minutes at it as a combo big and see what he does out there. I mean, they have an open roster spot.
6'8", 255 pounds. He's never attempted a three-pointer in his professional career. So he could just be a, you know, a minutes eater if they want to start Stewart and let Plumlee get some very coordinated rest so that he's healthy for a trade. Big brain action happening here.
Maybe.
Could always possible. Be to just eat up some minutes. I like to think of some of these guys, like on a bad baseball team, you just kind of grab pitchers from every single section of the minors to just eat minutes so your studs don't end up eating minutes and burning out their, you know, their internal pitching clock. This is kind of the same thing to me when bad teams just kind of pick up, you know, G League players and just eat minutes so that their stars don't have to, you know, get banged up by Anthony Davis or whatever in the middle of March or April. Just kind of has that similar feeling. 6'8", 255, hasn't shot a three. You know, I guess they had an open roster spot after the buyout, and it's just another dude to have in the front court. I don't know where we're at on time, but I guess we'll throw the one other main topic in the NBA that's happened right now, and that would be LaMarcus Aldridge. Non-Pistons news, so tune out if you don't want to, but LaMarcus Aldridge about to be bought out. We know that Troy Weaver likes to sneak his way into three-team trades or into any trade to try to, you know, try to squeeze an asset out of a desperate team. And the Pistons do play the Spurs tonight, so this is a little bit apt. What do you make of LaMarcus Aldridge? I know he's not going to come to Detroit, nor should that even be entertained for more than a millisecond. But what do you make of LaMarcus Aldridge? I think he's 35. Being out on the open market.
I still think he can step in and help a team. I get that, you know, he is not the same player he once was, very much in the same light as Blake Griffin is not the player that he once was, but this is a guy that can still help a team. He can shoot from beyond the arc. He's a back to the basket threat. He's obviously not going to do much for you on the defensive end. Really not going to help you at all down there. May even hurt you, but will rebound. Is a scoring threat. I think he can help a team probably more than maybe Blake Griffin can at this point.
Oh, ooh, okay.
Hot take? Was that a hot take?
Okay. I think that's a hot take.
You do? Okay.
I do. I think that'd be a very interesting question to pose. Who would more effectively help a team?
I mean, Aldridge is a center, Aldridge, you know? Or
Blake Griffin. They're both defensive.
You can set up Aldridge at the center position and it's not really going to kill you. Blake Griffin at the center position might kill him.
It might kill him. Yes.
So,
but I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I'm just looking at the shooting numbers. I mean, Aldridge has shot, and granted, he's, you know, been away from the team. He's also been injured this year, but the shooting numbers are much, much better than Griffin's were this season. And last season, you know, Aldridge has been pretty consistently an efficient scorer throughout his career. So I don't know if it's a hot thing, you know, I'm going to stick with it.
Stick with it. I mean, I don't think it's, maybe it's not that hot. Maybe it's not that hot. Maybe I just got transported back to like the 2014 and back then maybe it would have been more like slightly more of a hot take, but no, he could help a team that doesn't need to add defense. It was mentioned on the dunker spot, which is quickly becoming probably my favorite general NBA podcast. If you haven't listened to the dunker spot with Nekias Duncan and Steve Jones Jr., very, very good podcast, covers just about everything from defensive schemes to terrible dad jokes. The Knicks would be an interesting team for LaMarcus Aldridge because they already have a pretty good defensive squad already, but their offense is terrible. It just does not have any flow to it. I mean, Emmanuel Quickley is good and RJ Barrett is okay and Julius Randle is an all-star, but they just kind of get stuck in the mud sometimes, and Aldridge could sort of help a little bit by providing a little bit of facilitating from the elbow and provide a little bit of shooting. So I thought that was interesting. But I guess I just want to bring up Aldridge because the Pistons are playing the Spurs, and surprisingly, the Pistons are only 2-point underdogs, I believe, or maybe they're 2-point favorites. Without Aldridge, who's to know?
Pistons really.
Who's to know?
No,
the Spurs are 2-point favorites.
No Hamidou Diallo for the Pistons. It's gonna be a long night, folks.
No DeMar DeRozan or Aldridge. So this might be a horrific game to watch.
Great. You know, I actually have some time. I haven't watched the first two games out of the break. Now I'm going to sit down and watch it, and I'm going to
turn it off
5 minutes in.
You're going to get to watch Lonnie Walker, which is still fun.
Hey, I like Lonnie Walker. I like Keldon Johnson.
I like Lonnie Walker a lot.
I know he had COVID. Oh, yeah. I think he's back by now, though.
I like Devin Vassell, too. There's some players that are, like, so Spursy, it's painful. Yeah. And Devin Vassell and Keldon Johnson are both two just Spursy players that you're like, oh, God, of course they're on the Spurs. They have to be. They just have to be. Okay, so, Aaron, is there anything else you wanted to cover with the Pistons? I know that we're sort of planning to have two pods next week with the trade deadline coming, and Detroit probably going to be active. Someone is going to be active. And then perhaps having maybe a pod on Monday or maybe Tuesday. But are there any other Pistons notes as we head into trade deadline week next week?
You know what? I think it's best we save all that for next week's show, as we kind of give a primer to the trade deadline and give all our final thoughts on that right before the deadline hits and Weaver goes and makes 13 trades and a couple free agent signings.
Yeah, I am geared up and ready for it. I am a little worried that we're all going to be disappointed when only Andre Drummond gets bought out and goes to the Nets. But, you know, it could happen. Something else fun could happen. Who knows? Well, we hope that you will be with us next week as we preview the deadline. We'll preview some of the Pistons guys who could be moved. We'll preview some of the other guys who could impact the Pistons' moves. You know, the Pistons have a couple of wing guys that they could move. They have a combo guard and they have a center that they could move. And there's quite a few of those types of players on the market, or that could be on the market. So that'll impact who Detroit can move. I guess I'm thinking like JJ Redick and Wayne Ellington, you know, both guys who pretty much do one thing. So teams will probably line up to get Redick first because he's a name, but the Pistons will probably, I mean, I think the Wayne Ellington's been much, much better this year. Definitely. And he's not injured, unlike JJ Redick. So we hope that you will be with us next week for potentially two podcasts, recapping the trade deadline and then previewing the trade deadline, maybe next Monday or Tuesday. So with that, We will sign off for Aaron Johnson. I am Mike Angolano. Thank you very much for joining us on this truncated podcast, and we will see you next time, Pistons fans.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger. For the ones who get it done.